It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard. Peter and John faced the same enemies that put our Lord to death in the same context as they gathered in court to hear a case, their case, which was basically the same crime that our Lord himself had committed. They were his followers, and they were being ordered not to teach in the name of Jesus any longer, and they asked the question whether it was right in the sight of God for them to obey the Sanhedrin rather than God. They were there to judge. So Peter and James asked them to judge rightly in this case because it was impossible for them not to speak about what they had seen and what they had heard. But it was not always the case for Peter and John, especially Peter, who had denied our Lord on the day that he died, when having just the night before having promised to go with him even unto death. In fact, in today's gospel we see a kind of brief summary of the week's events prior to what we will hear tomorrow, which is the great doubter Thomas. Today we hear about Mary Magdalene and how she went to the tomb and saw the angels and then went back to tell the apostles and they didn't believe. And then how our Lord appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus and they were dull and slow of heart to believe all that had been spoken about the Lord, even though it was the Lord that was speaking to them directly. They still took a long time to realize the truth. And then it talks about also how our Lord appeared to the 11 at the table in the cenacle and rebuked them, St. Mark tells us, for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had been raised. And this is an interesting point. You know, all of them became eyewitnesses of the resurrection. Even if they hadn't seen our Lord until he appeared to them, some of them probably hadn't seen our Lord until he appeared to the 11 of them in the cenacle. They still saw him. But it wasn't that, our Lord rebuked him even then because they hadn't believed Mary Magdalene and the others. They hadn't believed the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Our Lord holds all of us accountable for putting our faith in the truth. Each one of us has been given the grace. Our Lord gave them the grace to believe when Mary Magdalene came back into that room and told them that Jesus had been raised. They had the grace to believe even though they hadn't seen it personally. Peter didn't believe. John didn't believe until he actually looked into the empty tomb. And many others were slower to believe than that. And as again we will see the iconic doubter tomorrow in the gospel of Thomas's transformation. But he rebuked them because they were unbelieving and hard of heart. It wasn't any excuse. And so there was a tremendous transformation from that point of unbelief to the profession of faith of Peter and John before the Sanhedrin, when they said, it is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and what we have heard. If we have received the faith and have embraced it, if we have truly been given the gift of faith, which we have, then that gift urges us on to profess our faith in the public and before men, because it is too important of a truth to go unsaid. Our Lord says, "Let your light shine before men. Do not hide it under a bushel basket." We are called to recognize the power of our Lord's resurrection and the power that belongs to the grace of God that is for each and every one of us. The power of our Lord's resurrection is made available to us in the sacraments, especially in baptism and the Eucharist. And it's this that we must preach to the whole world. At the end of today's gospel, our Lord says to them, after they have seen him and he has cured them of their unbelief and hardness of heart, he says to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Proclaim the good news to every creature." In the face of a world lost in vice and secularism that has rejected the most fundamental truths, not only of supernatural faith, but also of nature, where the very natural law that God has written into our hearts is under attack every day, the world is in sore need of good news. It's in sore need of the truth of the resurrection and of the central fact that is attached to that truth, which is that there is no salvation without Christ. The world is lost without Jesus Christ. There is no salvation and there is no hope. Our hope, on the other hand, is Christ. And when we stand up to proclaim his word or give witness to his truth by the way we live, we are being invested with the power of God. You know, the disciples were not, generally speaking, educated men. And our Lord didn't always come to those who were most qualified. We look, you know, for qualifications when it comes to putting people in charge of things. But each one of us, through our baptism, is qualified to be one of Christ's witnesses. And when we are faithful, in spite of the fact that we face opposition, even if we are the underdog or outnumbered or placed in very difficult circumstances, our fidelity to the Lord is ultimately a means of grace for others. The saints were willing to stand up in the public square and do what is right, even if they were laughed at. Saint Maximilian desired to be a fool for Our Lady, but it was a fool in the sense of what Saint Paul says in the letter to the Corinthians, that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And the foolishness of God is the cross. And it's wiser than the wisdom of men because God did not stay dead, but he rose from the cross. And his death and resurrection has been the means of our having received supernatural life and ultimately, if we are faithful, eternal life. And so we cannot but speak about what we have seen and what we have heard. We too are witnesses of the resurrection every time we come to the Holy Sacrifice and every time we overcome all cowardness and selfishness and profess the truth about Christ before men, that they might know the good news of our Lord's resurrection.